You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, NYCFC are MLS Cup champions. That means we are MLS Cup champions. We'll talk about all our time in Portland, flying all the way from Liverpool to catch that game. We talk about partying with the players, partying on the pitch, an absolute incredible experience. And we'll talk about the Champions League draw remix.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Sean Johnson, the MVP of the MLS Cup winning NYCFC. He stopped a couple penalties. I know the most important thing is how we felt, but we have to ask him how he felt doing it. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Campeones.
Lifting the trophy, okay?
Come on. You know, I have one of those, but it's stuck on my... I can't take it out. I don't know. The back broke. Anyway, I have one of those little pins. God damn it. My God, we are winners. We are champions. Christian and I won MLS Championship, the MLS Cup.
Thank you. Congratulate us. Call us sir as you see us.
Oh, yeah, because we get knighted when that happens.
That's how it works, okay? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco. Right.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Fubo Sports Network.
Yeah, that's all it is, right? Oh, no, wait. We're also the gulliest. Dude, how can I forget?
And the most MLS Cup championist, all right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The most the most cup inist.
All right. We're changing the language today.
Yeah, we're not making it better. This is an insane... episode,
we're excited.
Dude.
Yeah. We're excited about today's show. Not only because, yes, NYCFC won MLS Cup in Portland the other day. We got to experience that and be there. And it was unbelievable. But on top of that, we're also talking to the MLS Cup MVP, Sean Johnson. He's going to be joining us on the show in just a little bit.
Isn't that crazy? They just won, and the MVP is like, what's the first thing? And he's like, I'm not going to Disney World. I'm going to the Cooligans. You feel me?
Okay, we need to change that whole day. There has to be a new marketing campaign, okay? With like Tom Brady crying and, you know, excited about going on the Cooligans. All
right? Mark Van Stampen, or whatever my guy's name is, who just won the F1 by apparently cheating.
I don't know. I'm just following it on Twitter. I don't know F1 at all, okay?
No.
All I know about F1 is that it sits on my keyboard, okay? That's right. All I know about it.
I think he also won the Shift F1.
So Sean Johnson will be in a little bit, but we have to start today's show by talking about our experience at MLS Cup. This is now our fifth MLS Cup. We've seen Toronto win. We've seen Seattle win twice. And we've seen Atlanta win. We've witnessed all
obviously
that.
We couldn't go to last year's.
Last year, we didn't go to Columbus, we right?
What an amazing... First of all, the circumstances around us going were insane. We were in Europe when NYCFC beat Philadelphia Union. And Christian and I looked at each other like, oh, we're going MLS Cup. There's not a chance in hell we're missing this. So we shifted all around our schedules. We got to Portland. Our brains and our sleep patterns stayed in Europe, but our bodies got to Portland.
Yes.
And it was, from the beginning, it was like surreal. Like, we've been around MLS Cups before, but they're usually like, oh, our friends are here. These are some journalists we've hung out with. These are some soccer people we've hung out with. Let's all go hang out. There's events in this. This was, for the first time, all about the game.
All
nothing
business.
Else mattered.
Okay.
Yeah, we showed up with briefcases, okay? We were here for the game. And look, maybe it's because we're sort of on-camera talent for NYCFC, so maybe we have a bit of a closer connection to some of these players than we typically have when it comes to MLS Cup. But it felt like we needed to sleep early. You know what I mean? It felt like we needed to eat right before the game, or else the game could be lost. You know?
Well, I mean, look, for Alexis, that is a big commitment, all right?
First of all, just to understand what my definition of eat right is very different from whatever Christian just got in his head.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 14 less hot wings, you know?
I mean, I guess wow. I could try.
You're asking a lot, coach.
Quick, hide these bones. I mean, it felt like there was something significant happening, especially because the amount of NYCFC fans that showed up.
Yeah, it ended up being 2,500 supporters that ended up going to Providence Park. And, you know, even the march to the match, was electric. And like
through the
walking
rain.
Through, stopping traffic, Port Timbers fans politely booing. You love yeah. Portland. They're very kind. Yeah. They boo, but it's with like boo. But you know, I just have just for today.
Their boo is like boo, but have a good game. And you're like, is that what they also said? It's very different. Right? But I do think they were trying to play games with us because they walked us uphill. Mm. And then around the stadium uphill. You know what I mean? It was like, are you trying to tire out the templados?
The supporters themselves are going to be too gassed to play extra time, you know?
We're taking a nap in the 45th minute? No, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter because maybe it's because where we were sitting, but it felt like it was an NYCFC stadium for the large majority of that game.
Sure, sure. The NYCFC supporters were loud. We were in the supporter section as well. I mean, it was a cold and rainy afternoon in Portland, right? The weather was not ideal. The inflatable MLS Cup didn't even make it to the show. You know what
I mean? That was a mess from the beginning. But we just, the whole crowd was like, oh, every time the cup would lean to one side. If you didn't know, it's like one of those like... what do they call like the crazy hand guys that they have at used car
wacky
lots.
Inflatable tube guys. Yeah. You know?
So imagine that was an MLS cup. So it looked kind of like a Jiffy Pop when it first started and then they inflated it. But if you don't know, the cup is pretty top heavy and that bad boy just kept leaning in different.
MLS cup skip leg day. All right.
Yeah. It's just here for the waist up flex. You feel me? Can't even tie its own shoes. So they finally got this thing inflated and everyone clapped. As they wheeled it out to the center of the pitch, the wind pattern was very different there, knocked it over and just ripped the top of the cup off the base. And then you could see panic in the eyes of the people down there. Like, what do we do now? They're like, well, get it out of here. The MLS Cup beginning was just fireworks on a mat.
They were missing the centerpiece on Thanksgiving, you know, the Thanksgiving table. Yeah. It was just gone.
They're like, I don't know, dude, put more stuffing on your plate. What do you want? There's no turkey coming. It deflated.
But it wouldn't be Major League Soccer without something, you know, it's the American, you know, sort of idea and ideology of making the big game, a big show and doing all this stuff. And it's like, you know, soccer's like, get all this mess out of here. Kick the ball around. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, dude, blow the whistle. I mean, let them play around the fireworks at this point. We just want the game to start.
But it was great. It was great seeing 60 people scramble and get this MLS Cup, put it on the pitch, on center pitch, and then immediately get it right back
off.
Get
it out of here before the cameras start. Also, another thing that's wild, the American is the game. There was a countdown to when the match would start.
Yeah.
And then at some point, 10 more minutes were added to it. Like, and people were like, what the hell? And someone's like, oh, there's a basketball game that's going into overtime. And it's like, what other country would this happen? Imagine that in England. Oh, no, there's a cricket match that isn't over. And they're like, cancel cricket.
Yeah. That's it. Going. The sport's done. We're done with it.
Sorry, the Champions League final can't go through. And people are watching. You know, people are watching a rugby match. They'd be like, right.
But the game.
Ban rugby.
The game was incredible. Like, look, you know, obviously the first half was, you know, not as exciting as it probably could have been. The rain, everybody, players were slipping here and there, adjusting to an MLS Cup final. But both teams played pretty well, not really making many mistakes. But NYCFC, you saw from the first half, dominant, controlled the game, controlled the ball. Just clearly the better team. They ended up scoring first in the second half. After
off of a set piece, which off is a set piece,
Max Morales sends a ball and Tati Castellano heads it in. Steve Clark, ball a little slippery, trickles right
it
in.
It literally
first
just trickles in, and the feeling, the emotion that came out in the supporter section because it was so kind of such a difficult like back and forth match. where, you know, their squad wasn't even, Portland Timbers weren't even getting that many chances on goal. It did feel like we kind of had control. We just had to find that final product. As soon as that goal went in, it kind of felt like we won already. You know, I was kind of like, let's just wrap this up. Why do we got to play the whole 90? You know?
Right. And then, and if it felt that way, you know, NYCFC was just simply trying to hold on, pitch a shutout. But no, Felipe Mora said no, it's not over yet. There was a look, the NYCFC is trying to clear the ball out, just trying to, you know, just end the game. Literally about 30 seconds left to the match.
Some people would even suggest that it was actually over where the clock should have gone, where the whistle should have blown. So it was like 20 seconds extra, whatever.
That's part of the game, right?
But the
ball gets sent in. And it lands at Felipe Mora's feet. There was some controversy whether Mabiala had fouled Maxime Cheneau. Maxime Cheneau made it very clear he was not happy that there was no foul called.
I mean, you try to fight a ref, that sends the message that you're upset.
This guy's serious.
What do you mean, meet you outside? There's a game happening. The stadium freaked out at a level I don't think I've ever been a part of a louder stadium.
Right, and there's footage of us. You know, you're probably seeing it right now of us. I mean, the level of shock and disappointment when Felipe Mora scores that goal is really unbelievable. I was like welling up with tears, like about to celebrate winning MLS Cup.
Got all sucked right back in.
And Felipe Mora said, "No, no todavía."
Yeah, you know what it was? It was like Christian and I had the same face. As if we were on the subway and it's been delayed and an announcement came that it will continue to be delayed. You know what I mean? We're just like, come of course.
Right? You're doing this now? Okay.
Come on. I got places to be, you know? The penalty, obviously extra time happened after that. Nothing really happened in extra time.
A couple of big saves from Sean Johnson.
But you know, that shifted the match. Penalties was a big thing. And I shockingly had a lot of confidence going into this, only because Sean Johnson has been such a brick wall through any penalty opportunities that we've had, and starts off with two big saves.
Yeah, look, as soon as your goalkeeper stops the first two, it's going to be really difficult.
You're like, we won this. This is over.
To win a game. And Sean Johnson was incredible. I mean, those two big stops really set the tone for the rest of those penalties. Alfredo Morales missed one. Steve Clark got to it. But the, you know, overall, I think both teams didn't really take that great penalties. There were two penalties, I forgot who the players were from NYCFC, but they really just went like right under Steve Clark, like just right by him, almost in the middle of the goal. But it worked out. I mean, overall, NYCFC deserved to win that game. Even a lot of Portland Timbers fans told us the exact same thing. But as soon as the penalty started, it's shocking because, you know, you're like, how could this team be so dominant and still end up in penalties? But Sean Johnson stopping those first two calmed my nerves more than I could have ever expected. After those two, I'm like, that's it. They just have to make the rest of them.
Just bag it.
And they're good to go.
And, you know, my favorite part of all the penalties was when Alexander Collins sinks the game-winning one. Uh-huh. His celebration was like high-stepping his feet. you could tell, like, there. You know, you don't know how to get rid of the energy that is now pulsating through your body.
Right.
And he was kind of like, it looked like a gazelle stepping on hot coals or something. You know? it was almost childlike. And it was kind of cool to see, you know, people may joke around about MLS, may not like it, may think it's a retirement league. It is what it is. But, you know, these players are still professional athletes and they start every season with the goal of winning this trophy. And only one team can, and everyone else essentially fails, you know? So year after year after year of that, of working your ass off and failing and not winning the thing, and to see the emotion poured out of these players when they finally win, it was actually pretty dope. And you and I had gotten onto the pitch for the trophy celebration and afterwards. And it was funny because the guys holding ropes wouldn't allow us in, right? We had the press pass that wouldn't allow us in there. But as soon as Alfredo Morales saw us, he was like, "You guys, we did it." And I was like, "You're right.
Thank you for the acknowledgement, Alfredo.
You know, why didn't we get a chance at the penalties? You know, but it was great. And like players came over and like kind of dragged us in and we're like, get around the rope. And we got every player that we saw came over to us, celebrated with us. It was such a cool moment to be a part of, because it sort of not humanizes them, but it kind of makes them, it grounds these are children. You know what I mean? They have like the emotions of children because they just won this thing they've always wanted to win.
Right. And it's also, you know, like when your team wins a championship, you know, the instinct, you know, it's very normal to say like, we did it, we won, we, like, you know, I've been supporting the team since day one, and the supporters are very much as much a part of the team, especially within soccer. It does feel like you, when you say we, it's like, yes, it is we, because the players themselves are always grateful and thankful, even for all those fans that traveled out to Portland, spent all that money and did that whole thing. But like when the players, when Alfredo Morales hugged us and Tony Rocha hugged us, And it's like, we're a part of this family, like, so directly.
I was so honored that all those away supporters came for us. You know, that's how it felt. It felt like they played the drums for us.
Such a great moment.
Remember when Keegan Parks saw us? Keegan Parks, who's injured and wasn't able to take part in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When he saw us, he literally ran right over to us and he was like, like, come on, guys, it was us.
Madness.
And I was like, it was.
So a great moment being on the pitch. Obviously, the MLS Cup is going around. Everybody's taking photos. But really, the moment everybody is waiting for is, you know, if you had seen this, when Ronnie Dyla, head coach of NYCFC, got hired, one of the clips that went viral was him at a former club celebrating a championship by stripping down to his underwear and doing push-ups on the pitch. And right. He was being asked, especially as they were going farther into the playoffs, like, hey, if you win, is this something you're going to do? I mean, they were asking him this, I think, on his like welcome
media
interview.
Day.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. This was like his first media day. And it's like, it was really just a kind of a creative way to ask, do you think you're going to win? And he was like, you know what? If I win, I will do it. And I remember he walked past me at one point. And I said, hey, coach, promise is a promise. And he goes, he kind of gave me like the wait for it. Hey, yo. He starts doing it right after we did our call-up interview where we talked about it. Mm-hmm. He starts stripping. So, like, I kind of got as close as I could, you know, and just held my camera up. And there's video. I mean, first of all, he's wearing the tightest pants on earth. I mean, this wasn't, you weren't prepared to strip, you know? But, dude, he takes off everything except his underwear, and he starts doing push-ups, and the crowd loves it.
Loses their mind.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, I mean, it felt weird running up to a whole, you know, in a big group, just filming a man undress himself, you know what I mean? But if that's part of being in the soccer business, then I'll do what I got to do.
Hey, if this is a tradition with winning the cup, then, I mean... Maybe next time we win the cup, I'll do this. You know what I mean? The push-ups probably won't happen. But
some people did suggest that. Some people were like, Alexis, why weren't you doing it? I think it wasn't the nudity part. It was the push-ups. No, I think
my cardiologist was like, you should have gone out there and do a couple push-ups, buddy.
So, oh my God. I mean, an unbelievable time. You know, not only after that, then we got to party with the supporters, got to party with the players. Goody Robinson singing Bad Bunny in fluent Spanish.
Bro.
Absolute madness.
Bro.
It was unreal. We got to take photos with MLS Cup, with the players. Just incredible. Just an incredible weekend overall. And, you know, we have Sean Johnson on in a little bit, and we'll talk more with him about what it was like for him stopping those penalties and doing all those things. I know you got our perspective, which you really wanted.
So
and
this
needed.
Is the second most, second most important perspective is the guy who did stop those penalties.
All right, Alexis, we have to talk about the UEFA Champions League draw or the redraw, the redo, the remix. Okay?
Yeah, the remix is what I like. I like that. They're like, you know what? Let's get little baby in here to pick the balls. Huh?
You know, it's like when Funkmaster Flex is like, run it back. You know, you have to.
Like for the 38th time.
So if you didn't see this, the UEFA Champions League draw had to be redone for the round of 16 because there was a clerical error, as they said. Essentially, when they were sorting out the matchup for who was going to play against Atletico Madrid, the Manchester United was not in the bowl that they were supposed to be in. So even though that wasn't the matchup initially, they weren't in that bowl. So the whole draw had to be redone entirely. So
which is a good thing. This is the right way to do it. mistake was made, whether on purpose or not. We're not here to, you know.
Quote unquote, right? Strong quote, it is UEFA.
I mean, if you take some of the circumstantial evidence based on the people that were doing it, I think we could say, no, it wasn't a mistake. But whatever, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. A mistake was made, and then it had to be redone, and it was. Yeah. Which, why? Come on, this is FIFA or UEFA. Come on.
Have fun with it, you know? Let's get that engagement up on Twitter. Right?
Come on. You've never admitted to mistakes before. You never admitted faults.
Don't let them change you, okay? Bro. It's just that all these soccer fans are so woke. You know what I'm you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Oh, you want things to be on the up and up? No, thank you. We want things to be on the UEFA and UEFA.
You need to attack those that are criticizing you.
Dude, here's the thing. Just blame the media for coming after you. That's what you do.
So the one club that is actually probably more upset than anybody else is Real Madrid. Real Madrid was originally drawn against Benfica, and now they are drawn against PSG, okay?
The way they're acting is wild disrespectful to Benfica. It's like, imagine you were playing spin the bottle and it hit one person and you were like, oh, thank God. And then they spun it again. And it would someone else be like, I don't want that. Bring me back to what I had before. That second person is going to be like, But in that case, this is Benfica. Imagine a club saying, no, I want to play Benfica. Oh, why? Now I can't have the easy win.
Yeah.
Benfica's probably, I hope that Real Madrid, and I don't want this to happen because actually I picked PSG to win Champions League, but I hope Real Madrid beats PSG and has to somehow play Benfica in the next round and lose to Benfica. That would be the most amazing turn of events.
That would be ideal.
Also, I would be a king in the Ironbound section in Newark because there is little Benfica out there.
But no, this is a kind of like what you said. I mean, just the fact that they acknowledge their own mistake is progress, and it is the transparency.
But
that
do you like that, it? All jokes aside, doesn't it seem like a little bit of the spice has been taken out of the sport?
It does, but Real Madrid getting so upset is really. I love that part of the drama because it's just like, yo, why are you messing with my money, UEFA? Yeah. You know how bad I'm in a bad situation right now, and you're making it a lot harder.
Now you're going to stop being corrupt when we need it the most. Now you're going to stop.
We could use just a little bit. Can you sprinkle a little bit of corruption in our favor? Yeah. That'd be nice.
Look, I'm not saying cook with the corruption. leave it on the table so I can put a little bit on top of my dish. I get that not everybody else wants it, but I need it.
Get on the side. Put it on the side. I'll be fine with it.
I'm going to bring my own. I got my own corruption in my purse. It's kinda just like, me, Beyonce, you know, and Hillary Clinton.
Hillary with hard hot sauce in her purse.
Yo, Christian, one of my favorite parts about us being MLS Cup champions, which we are, is that we got invited to City Hall. I hope people don't actually believe we legitimately got invited. We were there. We did get a chance to, get press passes. So we were able to sort of be kind of amongst the press and then get behind the fence and talk to some of the players and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You're telling me something I already know.
I'm telling the people listening and watching something they may not know.
Yes. Look, it was an incredible experience. I mean, I was born in Brooklyn, in Brooklyn, New York. I was born in Queens, technically, but I lived there for like 6 months and then raised in Brooklyn, New York. And being, so connected with the team, watching Sean Johnson bring out the trophy, seeing all the love all the players were getting.
Have you ever been to City Hall?
I've not been to City Hall. No, not in that capacity. You didn't go on for a class celebration. Trip? What'd you say?
You didn't do that as a class trip? You didn't go to City Hall?
No, I never did, actually. Yeah, that wasn't a well, thing.
These kids don't need it. Yeah.
I never went to City Hall, but I did go to a federal prison. As a kid,
and we spoke a little scared straight.
We spoke to prisoners. And I was like, but it made no sense because I was like in the honor roll. I'm like, why am I here?
Like, you see what happens to people who aren't in the honor roll? You better keep studying.
So, okay, school's a little bit different in Brooklyn. All right, it was great.
Dude, we went to Rahway State Prison, and one of the kids refused to get off the bus because his dad was in prison. and he was afraid he was going to see his dad. It was cool. He got to sit on the bus and eat sandwiches with the teachers. You know? And we were like, yo, you got a dad? That's cool.
So, to answer your question, I have not been to City Hall, but as a kid growing up,
in the city, City Hall is there. I mean, it's very obvious. It's where you go when you're trying to get into sort of like the Tribeca area or lower Manhattan, you pass City Hall. It's an omnipresent thing. You know, every champion, we've been there for women's national team parades. We've been there for Giants parades. We're both Giants fans. Yankees parades. It ends at City Hall. You're not a Yankee fan, are you? I don't even think you have a team, right?
Mets. Let's go Mets.
Like I said, you don't have a team. So the Knicks, I don't think I've ever been to City Hall. I don't think City Hall existed the last time Knicks won a championship. But when you get to see all these teams celebrate, and, you know, sometimes as soccer fans, we feel like second-class citizens because no one really talks about us in the sports world. But to get a chance to see these guys get a key to the city and to celebrate and, you know, get to meet the mayor as he gets booed. Like, all those things are so incredible because, like, you know, these are the guys that we root for. And they got to have that championship moment. And even de Blasio said, the first ever MLS Cup in New York City history.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. I mean,
de Blasio on his way out really leaned in hard to New York is blue.
Yeah, he was like, Somos Celeste.
but even when CEO Brad Sims was giving his speech, when de Blasio was giving his speech, I mean, fans made it quite clear. They were like, we want a stadium. There were chants, we want a stadium. We were over and over and over. They almost didn't want to hear like, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about all this other stuff you're saying.
Flip to that index card, my G. Start right there.
It'd be nice if you made the announcement right now. Okay?
It would have been perfect. And I know Brad Sims is a good dude because I would have turned around and said, yo, just before this, yo, de Blasio said we're getting a stadium. Oh my God. He told me right there. There he is right there. Go ahead. Tell him how you feel about that.
Make it very clear to him, right? But no, it was an incredible experience. Look, again, being New Yorkers, getting to see the team that we've supported since day one. We say this all the time. The Cooligans would not exist without NYCFC. That's just 100% facts and true. And the fact that we got to celebrate there with the support, even some of the supporters, like, take a photo with us, the Cooligans. I'm like, what? Get out of here. This is not about us.
I thought people would yell Cooligans. I thought it would be like, yo, Cooligans, get Sean Johnson's attention and tell him to come over here. That's honestly what I expected. Every once in a while,
out of the way.
Someone came up to us, was like, yo, Cooligans. And I was like, oh my God, we're about to get in trouble. Right. I don't know why. It just always feels like we're going to get in trouble. And like, hey, my kids want to take photos with you. And I'm like, what? Why?
You've done a terrible job parenting.
Right? If they want photos with us. That's how it feels.
I'm gonna be worried about maybe you're gonna waste your film on us. You know what I mean?
Nobody uses your film. Yeah, those kids have one of those cameras where the bulb blasts every time you take a photo.
They're wearing a little press hat with a little ticket under that.
I'm like, wow, man, everything old is new again. This whole TikTok generation is bringing everything back.
Cool experience. And this is happening later, but you know, before we're recording this before it happens, but we're also been invited to the New York Stock Exchange for the closing bell with NYCFC. So just ridiculous. The imposter syndrome is a madness now.
Oh wow. You have no idea. I'm gonna be the first dude to close the ring to close the bell with a hoodie on.
So you know what, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the experience with MLS Cup MVP Sean Johnson coming right up after this.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, the honor. Yeah. The honor I have right now to talk to this man. My voice is so gone that I now have the same voice he does. we both sound like movie villains.
All right, we went to Portland to get some bass in our voice, okay?
Christian and I now understand what it's like. I can't order through a mask with this deep a voice. I don't know how this man does it. Everyone's like, what do you want, a matcha, a latte? Say it louder. But this dude, we got to see this man become a brick wall during penalties and win our favorite club. It's first ever MLS Cup in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the Stonewall, the Secretary of Defense for New York City. Bing bong, everybody, for the one and only Sean Johnson, everybody.
Yo,
let's go,
Sean,
let's go.
What is good, brother?
What's happening, man? Hey, listen, the days are starting to roll together, man. It's crazy.
Look. You know, we had the luxury of obviously being at Providence Park, getting to witness really just history. I mean, you step up. I mean, the penalties were incredible, but throughout the entire game, you obviously stepped up. It was wild. And a voice, it sounded like this because we had the honor of being able to take photos with the cup and celebrate with you guys, which is an absolute honor. But how are you feeling right now? MLS Cup MVP, MLS Cup champion, Sean Johnson. How does that sound?
Yo, I'm not even going to lie. I feel like a champion right now. Like, I'm not even going to hold back. Yo, I feel like a champ. Straight up.
When you woke up this morning and got a bagel, were you like, and extra cream cheese on that because your boy won?
Yo, I opened my eyes this morning, and no lie, the cup was on my counter, and I could see it through my door. So the first thing I saw this morning when I opened my eyes was the cup, and I was like, yo, it's real.
Yeah. Damn, yo, stayed the night. That's pretty dope.
It did. Okay.
This relationship is moving fast.
Damn. You make an eggs for the cup. What you want? You want a scramble?
I didn't even meet the parents. Like, just it's crazy.
Look, there's very few times that we get a chance to talk to somebody who's just won MLS Cup, but especially having known you for a little bit and being able to have interviewed you in the past and stuff, we know that this was like an important thing for you and something that you were shooting for. Obviously, every player wants to win the championship. But when it actually finally happens and you get handed that cup, what goes through your mind that moment? Do you even remember it?
Honestly, like, it's a blur. I was talking to my dad about it. I was like, yo, like, I need to watch it back. Like, but all the things that happen in the moment, it's pretty surreal. It's all happening so fast. But the one moment I do remember, it was sharing the moment with Ferran when he gave me the cup. And you know, we said the Eastern Conference final, we're like, yo, like, this is dope. We won something, but we're not done yet. And that same run up, I was like, yo, I got to repeat this, like, run it back. So ran around the stage, ran down the stairs. And at that moment, I was like, yo, this is it. And that's when the emotion came out. It was pretty crazy, special.
And obviously, look, we were there for the equalizer, which, as fans, it was, deflating is probably the best word, but there was something to it where, yes, it was, I mean, there's no other word besides devastating, right? If you're a fan, you're like, this can't be happening, because we know the playoff heartbreak that we've experienced in the past. But there was, I don't know, NYCFC were just dominant in that game. I personally, as a fan, wasn't terrified of what extra time would look like, but what was going on with the team? Because it looked like absolute madness.
It was chaos, I'm not going to lie. when they scored that goal, like, honestly, I had 30 seconds left. I just looked up to my coaching staff. My goalkeeper coach was like, yo, 2 minutes left. I was like, all right, bet, easy. Let's lock in. Let's get the job done. And then 30 seconds, boom. And like, when the goal scored, like, you guys were there. It was crazy, like crazy. But in that moment, I was just like, all right, we've been here before. Like, we were just in New England. We just experienced the same thing at the end of, you know what I mean, extra time. So as soon as we got to the huddle, I was just like, yo, like, we still have a chance to win this game. Like, it's not over. Like, emotionally draining, yes, but I was just telling guys, like, yo, get up. Like, we got time, 30 more minutes, PK shootout, whatever it takes. Like, let's get it done. Easy.
Okay.
You've said this. You've said we've been here before. When the game goes into extra time, are you just like, what the bum clap? Like, are you like, again? Y'all gonna do this to me again? How long are you gonna be out here for? Yo,
all the Jamaican accents just come rushing into my head, yo. Like, for real. It was crazy. But I was telling somebody, I was like, yo, extra time. The game was crazy. I thought we played amazing. And then when we first scored, like, our fans went crazy. Like, their stadium was silent. It sounded like the stadium was full of our fans, which was amazing. So there's an ebb and flow of the game. It was amazing for us. Then they had their moment, but the extra time was just kind of like this, like, silence. It's the only way to, like, describe it is, like, everything just went real quiet, real calm. Just the kick of the ball, talking to the guys. That was it. It was like a really, really surreal, like, 30 minutes. It was just kind of like locked in, being in the zone. It was pretty cool.
I want to talk about, we'll talk about the serious stuff in a second, but your head coach really stole the show after winning MLS Cup, because obviously Ronnie
Dyla
brought
Magic City to the cup as opposed to the other.
He heard I was from Atlanta and said, yo, like, I got to put on for him right quick.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, you're going to learn something
Magic
today.
Mondays. It's about to be Magic Monday, right?
Yeah, you want it.
What was the response from the players after that? Because look, the fans, they had when Ronnie Dyla was hired, this was all over the news. Everybody was talking about it, what he had done at former clubs, and they're like, all right, if this is the type of dude we're getting, we would love to see this. And he kept his promise. What do you think of that moment, just everybody witnessing that?
Yo, it's iconic. Like, it's the only way to describe it. It's iconic. My man, he's a man of his word. He's honestly, he cares so much about the group. But when it's time to enjoy, to celebrate, like, all the things we've been through, he's been big on that. He's like, you know, we got to enjoy the moments. We got to celebrate together, enjoy the ups, the downs. But when we win a championship, man, like, you never know what's going to happen again. And he made that promise. I think, like, we were doing media. It was like media day. And I think he was on, I can't remember. I think it was like, it was Susanna Collins and
Jillian Sackovitz.
Yeah. He was on there. I want to say he made a promise that if we won the cup, he would do it. And I was like, yo, like, this man sticks to his word. So watch out world.
The other thing I wanted to ask, you know, I want to talk about your relationship to Ronnie Dyla a little bit, because he had spoken about you and you know, and why you were made captain of this team, and really I'm paraphrasing a little bit because I don't remember the exact quote, but he really said that you care so much about these players and this group, and you really are you know, one of the people that keep this team together. You know, there aren't many goalkeepers as captains. You know, when I think of a captain, sometimes you're like, oh, it's that center back or that midfielder that's always in, like, in the middle of everything. But when it comes to leadership, you are, you know, just as great of an example as some of those other guys in those other field positions.
Yeah, you know, people always have their questions, you know, like, everybody's so used to seeing, like, you know, the center back, the center midfielder, the, you know, whoever it is that, you know, historically has been captain of a team. But the reality is, you know, to be a captain of this group was special to me. Obviously, being here for 5 years, understanding what it means, you know, for the club, for the fans that have been there, that the tradition that's been here, the guys that have worn the armband before me. So the guys made it a lot easier, though, on the team. Honestly, the guys made my job so much easier. We were a family. That was what we wanted to do. When I sat down and talked to Ronnie at the beginning of the season, was like, yo, we have talent. That's a given. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna win games, but when things get tough, the tough moments, like, we cannot fold. And the only way to do that is to bring guys together. So we tried, you know, from day one to revamp the culture, bring guys together. And there was a crazy togetherness. Man, it goes way back. There's so many moments this year, but specifically this playoff run where every tough moment that people kind of gasped on the edge of their chair, we were no worries. Like, we'll ride or die. We'll figure this out. So, yeah, man, it feels good to captain the club to the first.
I mean, goodies, free kick. City's free kick, everything wild. In Atlanta. Every wild. Turnaround after that.
Yeah, yeah. People thought it was over. People at that point, right before that,
yeah.
Like they thought it was finished. Curtains, like I remember in Atlanta, even the fans in Atlanta were like laughing almost like, yo, this is raps. But nah, that was it, man. Turning point.
But you got to catch heat in the playoffs. We've been saying it. If you want to win MLS Cup, you got to catch heat in the playoffs. You guys call heat. I'm sorry, we call heat at the right time. I left my voice out on the field. That's the game. We got our own supporters group. Speaking of supporters, they're called Gully Squad. We let them ask questions. And a few of them are in reference to the penalty kicks. Yusuf Rikart, who's an NYCFC supporter as well. He says, what came to your mind when you had that stare down after saving the first PK? And actually, I want to ask you about that because even as a captain, you're a fairly stoic guy. It takes a lot to get you to laugh. I know, because we've been trying, and it takes a lot to get you to shake you, right? You don't shake easy. But yo, yeah. After that first PK and that second, because their keeper also saved the PK, and you were like, I got to do this also. I got to do this one more time, right? When you saved that second one, a lot of emotion came out of you. What went through your mind, and what are you looking at? Are you looking directly at their eyes? Are you trying to look at, like, you know, when you look at somebody like on their lip or something and they're like, do I have something on my lip? You know what I'm talking about? Like, what do you do in those moments?
Yeah, it was wild. So the first PK stepped up, made a save. And like, that was just one moment. I was like, yo, that was one moment, still on PK shootout to go. So I was locked in. That was it. Like when I gave him the grill, I was like, yo, like it's time. Like, this PK shootout's ours. And so walk back, Steve saved one. I was like, damn, we got a game on our hands now. Like, got to step up again. So locked in, got back up. And when I saved the second one, like for me, saving two in a row, that's when the emotion came out. And I was like, nah, I was like, Portland needs to hear it now. You know, like they need to hear what it means, like, to be here in this moment. Because we made that our moment, man. Like, that, no one can take that away from us.
It's great. Especially since, you know, penalties have not gone so well the last couple of years. You know what I mean? And to have a playoff run with two penalties and for you to step up in the way you did, unbelievable. Everybody was incredible.
And in front of their Timbers Army. In front of that section.
Yeah. That's no joke.
And my man Kyans had two penalties at the end to win it. Like, that's pressure, you know? Like, yo, that's crazy.
A center back.
He's a hero.
That's his thing now.
Center back. Better... Yo,
my man, okay. My man's a hero.
You better be taking the penalties for Peru now.
Directly. Yeah, I know. He earned it.
Okay, one more question real quick. I think I know the answer to this, but this is from Thorin Svensson. He said, who was the first person in the locker room to scream, bing bong? Who was it?
James Sands.
James Sands, okay.
Jimbo. Sands. Jimbo Sands. Hey,
the young man on the Side Talk TikTok. Good for him. Okay, Sean, absolute honor, man. Again, man, honestly, not only look, you see that scarf up there, founding member. We've been season ticket holders since day one.
Our names in there. Our names are in the letters.
It is the day that you gave us and then the team gave us is absolutely dream come true. And the fact that we now are in a place where we're working with the club and got to celebrate with you guys,
huge.
It is another level of insanity to me. So just absolutely, we can only say thank you for everything you've provided for this club in these moments, man.
Of course, man. Of course. It's my honor. You guys know I've talked to you plenty of times, but to do it after lifting a cup, understanding what it means, man, it feels damn good. And hey, we'll enjoy it.
Everybody, just so you make sure you follow at Fubo Sports, subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel, follow at Soccer Cooligans as well. I know Sean Johnson, you know, obviously follow him on all socials, follow NYCFC, but also BPC MLS. Sean does incredible work, and it was awesome to see all the BPC guys at the stadium as well supporting you. We got to talk to like Justin and Dom and a bunch of other folks, Jaleel.
Jaleel.
Absolute honor overall. So this is absolutely incredible. All right, Sean, we're going to end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. I know you got to run. You got to do a lot of other interviews, but please participate with us in this. So it's an absolute honor for MLS Cup MVP and MLS Cup champion, Sean Johnson. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis MLS Cup winning Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! And campeones.